Welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kate. And our guest this week, I'm super excited because we have back-to-back Aussie episodes, David Rawlings, author of The Baggy Tandler, and my fellow Thomas Nelson author and Aussie, is here to chat with us today. Welcome, David.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yay!
Welcome. Woo-hoo. So we are here to talk today about stories with heart because David's book, The Baggage Handler, I am told punches people in the heart pretty much. I'm halfway through it, so I'm starting to like scratch the surface of it, like digging really deep. So David, do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of what your genre is and why you were the one who suggested our topic this week, Stories with Heart, why that appeals to you and what some of the stories that mean a lot to you are?
Yeah. I love the phrase punches in the heart, by the way. It sounds very, a very ninja way of dealing with stuff in your life. I'm writing, I've always struggled with coming up with what the genre is because it is contemporary, but it's not. And it is mm-hmm. speculative, but it's not. In fact, the best mm-hmm. I can come up with in terms of describing the genre is slipstream, which is on the fringes of contemporary fiction. It's contemporary mm-hmm. that just plays with your mind and introduces concepts that are a bit deeper than just the story. So that's kind of what I'm writing. And I'm doing that quite deliberately because, you know, I'm the sort of person who likes to think a bit deeper about life and have those conversations where you actually talk about what's really going on. So kind of suits me as a person as well. And I've mm-hmm. I found that I love stories that, you know, give you a bit of a chance to escape or entertain you. But I also like stories that get you thinking about, you know, your own life, the world you live in. All that other sort of stuff as well, which is kind of why I suggested the topic is stories that have a punch to them that leave you thinking about them well after the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, The Baggage Handler is definitely doing that to me. Do you want to kick us off talking about some of the stories that have done that to you, and then we'll circle back around to The Baggage Handler later on?
Yeah, sure. So I've come up with a book, a movie, and a TV show. So mm-hmm. in terms of because that is modern storytelling, isn't it? So mm-hmm. the book that I still remember I read as a kid, and the book was called Storm Boy, which was written by a South Australian author called Colin Tierley. Now, South Australia is where I live, so it was kind of drummed into us at birth that we would read this before we went to school. It's the story of a young boy who comes across some abandoned orphaned pelicans, and he adopts mm-hmm. one of the pelicans. And as the story is told, the young boy meets an Aboriginal young man who tells him about his story and his people and his culture. And I think the reason that the story stayed with me is because it leaves you thinking about your place in the world as well, in the sense of that the story is one of identity. So you've got an orphaned pelican chick who's raised by this young boy. You've got a boy who feels orphaned by his father, who's still around. And then you have an Aboriginal character whose people are very much sidelined in the culture of the book, but also in Australia. So mm-hmm. when I was thinking about what stories would jump out at me as stories that pack a punch, that was actually one of the first ones that came to me. And it's now a movie, to Jess's
yes.
great delight.
We were laughing before we started about the fact that it's currently been like recovered and is back in all the Aussie bookshelves because the movie is coming out, and I kept walking past it and thinking, this looks super familiar. Maybe I looked at it in school, but I really don't know what it is. And David was like, yeah, you probably should know that. So now I know.
Yeah, Aussie shaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
Bad Aussie.
So that was my book. Now, with the movies, the obvious one is Shawshank, so I'm not going to say that because I'm not an obvious type person. The movie that stayed with me in terms of the themes that are through it is actually Forrest Gump. And the thing that stayed with me is not the character of Forrest Gump, it's actually the character of Jenny, or mm-hmm. As Forrest would pronounce it, Jenny. So her story is very much one of someone who is just lost in life. And I've watched that a couple of times specifically to look at that character's development and to see that she is just someone who lives her life according to what other people think of her, always has. And I've often found myself when that movie comes up talking about that character. So that's the movie, that the story that stayed with me, and the TV show. I loved the TV show Scrubs.
Yes.
Huge fan of comedy.
My
huge fan of comedy. I loved the podcast last week.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
No, Scrubs is a comedy, but Scrubs is also a drama, and I find myself rewatching that for about the 1,000th time, and coming up with, you know what, that's actually a powerful story about connection or identity or friendship or relationship. So that's actually one thing I'm taking into my writing, is getting across the idea of something quite deep and something quite, something to stir something up in people, but doing it in a way that's humorous, or it's almost, mm-hmm. it's the boxing glove that's... So for me, the TV show is Scrubs.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the most effective comedy is the comedy that's overlaid with something that's really sad or really meaningful. Like, one of the movies on my list is Finding Nemo, because it's so funny, but it's also like, man, it's so sad. Like, this dad has lost his little boy and he's lost everything else in his life. So that's really tough for him.
Yeah. No, my kids love that, and we love watching it with them. So, yeah, good call.
Yeah. Good one. How about you, Hannah?
You know, I actually was kind of not sure what you meant by heart, and I had a bunch of different ideas in my head about what those could be. And I ended up kind of thinking on, like, what have I seen recently that's really impacted me? And I recently went through and I watched all of the Oscar-nominated films for this year, nominated for Best Picture, and then a couple of the animated ones too. But Green Book did exceptionally well in the Oscars, and I thought, out of all the Oscar films that I had seen, Green Book and Black Klansman were definitely some of my top two. Black Klansman was another great one. Green Book, they're both stories that deal with racial tensions and problems within America. And I kind of wanted to talk about both of them because they're both very well done, two very different stories. I think Green Book probably fits into this scenario a little bit better because it talks about the growth of and the change of heart in regards to how each person views the other. So you have Viggo Mortensen, who plays a white driver, like it's kind of like driving Miss Daisy, essentially, and he's driving, I can never pronounce his last name or his name, hold on, Mahershala Ali, who
Mahershala,
won,
I think it is,
thank you, who won for Best Supporting Actor in the Oscars this year, and he plays this phenomenally talented pianist who travels around the country to play in different venues. And the story isn't like very plot driven, but it is very character driven and driven by the change of heart for both characters and just trying to understand traditions and cultures and understand some of the things and struggles that Mahershala's character plays in obviously racial inequality times back in, I think it took place in the 70s, 60s or 70s, I wanted to say. So mm-hmm. that was, I went into that movie really not thinking I was going to like it that much. I thought it would be fine. I just didn't think it would be phenomenal. And it truly, I know it has some of, like, there's been some criticisms about it. Obviously, I think anytime you're going to tackle racial tensions within America, you're going to have some criticisms about things. But I just thought it was a beautifully done movie, and it really helped open up my heart to some of the things, and that it opened up my eyes to some of the things that I don't think I fully recognized. But it certainly punches you in the gut. What I loved most about this movie is that in comparison to Black Klansman, which also tackled racial tensions within America, Green Book has this ending of hope and human connection despite differences. Mm-hmm. Literally, the ending scene is just one of the sweetest scenes I've ever seen. I loved that ending, and I won't spoil it because it is still in theaters. But that was such a beautifully done story. Black Klansman punched me in the gut in a way that you recognize just as far as we've come, we still have a long ways to go. And that was something that really drove me to like BlacKkKlansman as well. So those were two movies that I just thought would go pretty well with this topic. And considering they're both very recent films, you can at least go see Green Book, I believe, still in theaters. And I know BlacKkKlansman just came out on Redbox not too terribly long ago, so.
Cool. Awesome. Well, some on my list. I'm going to go back into book territory. There is one book series that stands out when I think about things that have like sort of taught me a lesson that stayed with me. Most books I read purely for entertainment. I don't really learn anything out of them. And it started off that way for the City of God series. So this is a time travel story. My great love in fiction after romantic comedy is time travel. I am such a sucker for it, which is why I was raving to David about the Umbrella Academy before we started the podcast. And so the City of God series is about a woman who I think is an archaeologist. And a man who, or maybe he is too, I don't know, I read it a few years ago now. I think one's a scientist and one's an archaeologist. They have a time machine and they, I don't think they intended to use it, but somehow they end up getting sent back to about AD 63 in Jerusalem. They're on an archaeological dig in Israel when this happens. And so they go back to a point in time. If you know your ancient history, you will know that the Romans demolished Jerusalem in AD 70. And so they go into a very politically tense, ancient, different culture. And there's actually, oh, the reason why they went, that's right, they're trying to stop an assassin from killing the Apostle Paul and trying to change world history by stopping the person who pretty much spread the modern Christian church across the world. And so they're trying to stop the assassin, and then they lose their time machine and they get stuck in that time period. And it's a three book series by Randi Ingemanson, and it is thrilling and it has romance and the history is fascinating and the cultural differences, and it's so interesting and it is action packed because this was a time in history that had a lot of action in it. And at the end of the series, I will try not to spoil everything, but let's just say there are two people. This is when the Romans are really, by the end of the series, we're in, I think, about AD 70, and the Romans are beginning their destruction of Jerusalem. And at that time, they would just grab a ton of people and they would crucify them. And it was really horrific. And these two people who had been friends and are now kind of enemies get caught, and the Romans say they're only going to crucify one of them. And so one friend says, so yeah, they're going to crucify him, and his friend comes forward and says, "No, take me instead." And so they do, but then the guy who he sacrificed himself for, he doesn't leave either. And I can't remember why he did it, but somehow he stayed, and now they're both going to die in the most horrific way possible. And it was gut-wrenching to read because this person offered himself up for the worst thing that you can ever imagine. And then that gift, like, he may as well not have done it because the other guy stayed. And like, different things happen, and eventually one of them does get away. But there is a point in which both of them are going to be crucified. And the pointlessness of it all rips your heart out because you really like both these characters. And you're like, I cannot believe that he rejected that gift. And it hit me and it has stayed with me. Like I said, some of the details are fogging my mind because I read this book, I think, like 5 years ago. But that scene is so vivid in my mind because it was so horrendous and you just struck you, what a waste. And then you realize, like, any time that you beat yourself up and like don't accept the forgiveness that God offers you, you're doing the same thing. Like, Jesus was crucified, but then you crucify yourself. And I have never forgotten that because any time that you struggle with guilt or something like that, I think of that and I'm like, there's no point both dying. And it wasn't just the horror of what was going to happen to them physically, but the tear your heart out sadness of the guy who sacrificed himself at the fact that his friend wouldn't accept the gift was horrible. And yeah, it's a great series. So all Randi Ingemanson's books are amazing. So go and check
Yes,
them out.
that is true.
Yeah.
And you can tell just the fact that that's stayed with you, apart from the fact that the details came out, is just the passion in your voice and the speed of your voice. You just got faster.
David, could you talk a little bit about your debut book and kind of what was the inspiration behind it, especially now that we're talking about stories with heart? Can you talk a little bit about how that, first of all, how that kind of got into your book in that way and why you decided to write this book?
Yeah, sure. The Baggage Handler was born out of rejection, in a sense that I'd written another manuscript and that I submitted to a number of competitions in the States, and it had finaled in a few of them, which was great. But when I pitched it to industry, they said, love the story, love the writing, but the story's not going to work for us. So it was about a reality TV guru who decided to make a TV program about churches. And so it was interesting
actually.
Yeah, well, people said it was interesting, but then industry said it wasn't going to work for them. So I actually was encouraged to write something different and just try a different genre. So I've always been passionate about discussions about things that are a bit deeper in life. And so I decided, well, maybe I should read some of those types of life lesson type stories. So I was immersed in that. And the Baggage Handler, you know, the baggage arrived one night. It really was a story where I was reading, and this idea plonked into my head. I grabbed my laptop, and I distinctly remember it was 9 p.m. exactly. Mm-hmm. Grabbed my laptop, headed out to the lounge room, and next time I looked at the clock, it was 1 in the morning, and I had the Baggage Handler on the screen. And it was one of those types of stories. I wish it happened all the time. It's only happened once, and certainly books too are a bit harder to write.
Yeah.
But I found the more I and talked to people about the things that they might be carrying, just the more there was some real truth there. So the story became less about a storyline with characters, and it became that plus the truth of, you know, what sort of impact it can have on you if you do put down the baggage you've been carrying. So that's where the story came from, and that's where it's developed. And the great thing is, even now, I mean, it's launching very soon, but some of the early people that have read it, the best one I had was a woman who wrote that she put the Baggage Handler down and she's still thinking about the baggage in her life, and that was weeks ago.
That's awesome.
So for me as a writer, you know, that's a win.
That's
in a sense
really
of,
cool.
Yeah. Sort of, and look, story is so powerful. I mean, here in Australia, our first Australians, the Indigenous culture, has been telling stories for forever, and that's how they've carried traditions forward. And, you know, biblically, Jesus, through parables, brought eternal truth to people in such a way that they could understand it. You know, they couldn't necessarily understand the topics of redemption or salvation, but they'd all lost a coin, or they'd all lost a sheep. So over the life of mankind, we've always told stories to pass on truth. And so that's what I'm trying to do as well.
Very much. I was actually at a work conference this week, which has nothing to do with writing, but at work, I'm a training developer. And I think everybody's probably first or second favorite session at the conference was one about using storytelling in training and how storytelling is how humans create empathy and understand people who aren't them. And it's like a fundamental part of society, because without it, we don't understand people who are different to us. Mm-hmm. And it struck me all over again at a context that had nothing to do with writing books, how vital all these professional corporate people considered storytelling to be.
Yeah, it's absolutely a huge part of just how we live life. I think that it's so easy for us to get inside of our own little bubble, but the more we start listening to stories from other people, the more it opens up our minds. But, you know, that doesn't always happen. And so one of the ways that we can do that is through books and movies and TV and, you know, through these mediums, and especially sharing fiction in a way that it's like, it's for whatever reason, nonfiction is wonderful and powerful in its own right. But there is something about fiction and stepping into somebody else's shoes that allows you to go on this journey as the other person that you really almost couldn't do in a nonfiction type of sense, because it's just so hard to place yourself in somebody else's shoes sometimes. And I think that fiction is incredibly powerful in that way. And that's what I love about Christian fiction even, is that most of the time, like, there is a powerful truth that God has to say in each and every book that I read. And it doesn't matter whose journey it is, I can always find God speaking to me in some little way in every book.
And I especially love, like I said, I read about half, I'm looking at now, David sent me an advanced copy of The Baggage Handler, so I read a bit over half of it last night, and one of the threads I'm really enjoying is about a woman who, a part of her baggage is the comparison trap, that is, it's a really good one to read. I'm not going to say any more, but I'll just say the way that David illustrates it in the book, with sort of a physical metaphor for what we do, it just sort of hits you in a whole new way. And especially in the light of, there's recent movies which are different genre, like they're rom-coms, but it's a similar thing. I Feel Pretty, Isn't It Romantic, just dropped on Australian Netflix like the day before yesterday. And they're really movies about dealing with the comparison trap, and these women who all of a sudden they see the world one way, and then both of them, they both hit their head, and then they wake up seeing the world a completely different way. And it's a similar kind of theme, even if it's a different genre, and it's something I'm really enjoying watching a lot of at the moment.
Pause for a second. Did you say Isn't It Romantic hit Netflix in Australia?
Yeah, it skipped cinemas and it's gone straight to Netflix in Australia. I've never seen
something that got
cinematic release.
I don't know if that's something so sad
release.
Or so good. I'm happy you guys can see it. I can't wait to get to see it in theaters. I've been like, it's on my bucket list. I just haven't had the time to get there yet.
I would have paid to see it in cinema, but it went straight to Netflix here. And I mean, in a way, it was nice because the other night when I stumbled out of my office cross-eyed and exhausted, my housemate was like, hey, want to watch Rebel Wilson? And I said, yes.
Absolutely. Always say yes to Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, that was good. And it's got Liam Hemsworth in it. It's a fun movie, people. Go watch it.
I'm really glad to hear that you connected with one of the characters, Jess, because one of the things about the book was I put three characters in there with three clearly defined sets of baggage that are pretty common. And the one thing I found is it's fascinating talking to people, and inevitably they will drift towards telling me about one character.
Yeah.
Which I mean, the concept of baggage is universal, but it's also not narrow. There are people that you know, need to get over unforgiveness, need to get over comparison, need to get over fulfilling other people's dreams and not their own. It's a universal thing that we all face, and we're all scarred or impacted by things people have said in the past or done to us in the past, or even the decisions we've made ourselves. And that's where I think the power of this story is. It's, I keep saying to people, if you enjoyed it, that's great, but what did you take away from it? And once we have a discussion about that point, it really, that's where you can start to think, you know what, maybe there is something there for me.
Can I ask you, David,
I love you.
I know that as a writer, one of both the hardest things and yet the things we must do is go on our own spiritual journey as we're writing this book. You know, I've talked to countless authors and I know it from my own experience that, you know, you start writing this book and it turns into something deeply personal and deeply emotional and deeply spiritual for yourself. And I'm wondering, you know, what was it about writing this book for you that was something you really had to work through?
Look, my drive for writing The Baggage Handler was not necessarily to put my story on the page. I've had countless people ask me which of the characters are me, and the implicit question that's not asked there is which baggage am I carrying that I'm hiding. I think for me the personal journey is more how I've observed other people and how I've observed them deal with, or in some cases not deal with, the things that hold them back. The character Jessica was referring to was a mother of two who's caught comparing herself to an older sister whose life appears perfect. Now I'm not referring back to my time as a mum with two kids, so it's not my personal journey from that point of view, but I've spoken to enough mums with two kids to see, you know, some great people with great potential who just don't see it themselves. So if anything, my personal contribution to the story isn't necessarily to write about where I've come from, but it's more my observation on where other people are coming from. And I guess in a way, some of the frustration and at times pain of seeing people carry things that they probably don't need to. So look, if my role in this is not necessarily draw from my own story, but instead to be that outside person who, in looking in with a different perspective, asks a couple of questions that helps start a conversation, well, you know, that's my contribution. So, yeah, it's definitely not a personal story. I have a few people wondering if the character that I named David is actually me, and that was I did that deliberately just to throw everybody off. But that's just the Aussie humour coming through. But yeah, it's definitely my story, but it is my observation of other people's stories, and if that helps them to, you know, start even considering dealing with stuff, well, then that's got to be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, David,
thanks so much for joining us, David.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a pleasure, and certainly I am absolutely, I'm almost like halfway there to asking you to just like, can you just send me an advanced copy right now? I'll wait till it comes out and buy it, and I can't wait to read it. So
by the time it got from Australia to America, the book would be out.
Probably.
Yeah, pretty much. No, thanks for having me on. It's been great to chat to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, David. We'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Hey, guys. If you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I am on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.